We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Armon here with you. You're listening to Reception Perception, the show. Oh my God, Matt. We don't normally record like this, but we had to pull out an absolute emergency episode because, man, Davante Adams and Amari Cooper both get traded on the same day. Let's go. Let's freaking go. I'm stoked. I am pumped to talk to you, my guy.
Yeah, amazing because these two teams just played last night. You know, again, we're recording this on Tuesday, so these two teams just played last night, and we immediately get some news from them both on the same day, in division as well. I mean, electric stuff. I mean, we can. Do you want to skip over Terrace Marshall being released from the 49ers practice squad, or and you just want to go right into these two names?
I'm pretty sure we can gloss over. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we can go right into that.
Cool. I just wanted to check, but yeah, I figured that might be. I didn't want to assume.
All right, let's start with the Davante Adams one. Cool. So he goes and he's going from LV to the New York Jets. And man, Rodgers just got the band back together. I mean, it's going to be Rodgers, Lazard, and now Davante Adams. I mean, it's just, again, we're going Packers East over here. But what were your thoughts there? And ultimately, what does it mean for both Davante Adams? And particularly, I think a lot of people are wondering what is going to happen with Garrett Wilson now.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I got two games chartered of Davante Adams right after that news happened. And before James and I got together, I got two games chartered of Amari Cooper. So your boy has been busy today getting the eyes on the film on this. Yeah, let's start with Davante Adams. So I think, first of all, let's address one thing, which is that I do not think, when I have watched the Jets this year, that just you're going to plug Davante Adams in here and he's going to solve all your problems. I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
But I don't think it hurts. You know, I don't
so it's not the case, but it's not the case.
Well, it's not going to solve all of your problems, yeah, but it ain't going to hurt, basically, is the way I would look at this. Is because I do think that with the way they run this offense, which is just, we've talked about it, it's a very, to me, static offense.
Right.
Honestly, you know, I think they've tried to push some of the, like, LaFleur Packers Hackett Rodgers buttons at different times, but it hasn't really worked because I don't think Hackett really has his fingers on the pulse of that stuff, in terms of the order of operations and the way all that things mm-hmm. have to go there. It just hasn't really worked. They've actually kind of moved the ball best when Rodgers is able to just do the Rodgers stuff, but it also is very non-threatening to defenses, especially in the modern NFL, for all of the reasons we have talked about here. It feels very much like the offense that Aaron Rodgers once rebelled against back in the Mike McCarthy era with Green Bay, right, and things like that. I will say, I think on Monday night against the Bills, they did have a little bit more of the motion and play action and creativity stuff. And, you know, I don't think Todd Downing is like a needle mover as a play caller, but just not being Nate Hackett probably makes a difference. You go from, like, I don't know, the 40th best offensive coordinator in the league, and remember there's only 32 jobs, to maybe being the 32nd in Todd Downing. I think that does make a little bit of a difference here.
Okay.
We record these podcasts after a long day of work. I'm spicy, all
right?
I'm shooting from the hip, okay?
Yo, let's go.
But again, so I think they have a little that, like, that with a little bit better offense, order of operations on Monday night. But again, I still have to say that if it is going to be a very static Rodgers-esque offense, it does help to have timing, rhythm, chemistry. Because I would say that Garrett Wilson is an excellent separator against man press coverage, but is he a by-the-books route runner? Definitely not. You know, he's not that guy. I think he's actually compared himself to Stevie Johnson, who Stevie Johnson was a great separator, but he was a known kind of, like, wonky, loosey-goosey route runner in his own right, but was a great separator, which is why he worked with a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's definitely not a by-the-books quarterback. So Rodgers is definitely the antithesis of that. He's going to get a guy in Davante Adams that just knows the system, knows Rodgers, is going to be, okay, you're going to run this route, 7 yards. It is 7 yards, and you're in between the hash and the numbers right here where I expect you to be, okay? So I think that's a good thing for Davante Adams to be just dropped into this system. The second thing is just, what does Adams have left as a player?
Yeah.
I've charted week one and week two, so the Chargers game and then the Ravens game in week two.
Okay.
You know, we're looking at a player that is still – very, very good against man press coverage. I've got him at a 78.2% success rate versus man and 76.9% success rate versus press coverage. Those are obviously great numbers. Maybe a little bit, but they're still south of his career best numbers. We're looking at maybe, like, if I can put this in totality, we could put him as like a no longer the 99th percentile. We're somewhere between, like, you know, 90th, 88th percentile type separator still against press. When we're looking at against press. Now, there definitely has been a drop off against zone. I will say, I think the zone numbers are most kind of susceptible to, one, small samples, and two, offensive environment, I think, will bring down your success rate versus zone, especially when you're an outside X receiver, which Davante Adams is still an outside X receiver.
Right.
So that's just worth noting. I do think, again, just small drop-offs in terms of ability here from a separation standpoint, not because he's less of a route runner, technician, anything like that, but, dude, I mean, the guy was drafted in 2014, for God's sakes. Like, he's not as explosive as he used to be in his absolute peak, but he's still an excellent player. Like I said, somewhere between that, like, 88th, 90th percentile of what he used to be.
Okay, so you talk about some of the freestylings of Garrett Wilson. I would imagine they're talking about trying to trade Mike Williams now. So Garrett Wilson, I think, slides over into that, you know, secondary outside receiver spot. And, you know, he'll play both sides, just like Davante Adams will play both sides. And he'll play some flanker. I do wonder, does he get into the slot, or do they just basically make Alan Lazard a full-time slot player? Because he's played about a little bit less than 50% of his snaps as an inside player has Alan Lazard. I just wonder if, given this wide receiver room, do they just stick him inside the entire time?
It's a great question. I think almost regardless, like, the fact is that Garrett Wilson has never played the X position for this team. That's not true. I should say, he's not this year. He has been a slot flanker. He's been off the ball. He's been in motion, which is great. I think that's the way you want to use Garrett Wilson. You know, I've mentioned this. I've talked to Garrett Wilson about his optimal usage. That's the way he wants to play. He wants to run from the slot. He wants to run off the line of scrimmage and be that guy. Actually, some of the most annoying stuff was very early last year, where he was playing so much for the X receiver position for this team. I think they realized that's probably not the best usage for him, and probably not the best usage for him in this particular offense. Now, the good thing here for Wilson, obviously, look, he's going to see less targets. He actually, I think he leads the NFL in targets right now. I mean, he's over 60. He's up there. I could fact check myself, because it's not like I don't, you know, have access to the damn internet here. Garrett Wilson right now, he does lead the NFL in targets with 67. That's not gonna be the case anymore. But he also is under 10 yards per reception. He's under 9 air yards per target. I think both of those numbers are coming up, because I think Adams's role will be as that X receiver, just like he was with the Packers, running a lot of in-breaking routes and, like, those quick slant routes and things like that. That's really where Rodgers and Wilson, I think, have had the most trouble getting on the same page. That's going to allow Wilson to be that vertical receiver, both from the slot and the flanker, which I think fits his skill set a little bit better. So if we're getting some better, I'm not saying they're going to tear apart the whole offense. They're not changing the offense, right? This offense is what it is. But, you know, Todd Downing maybe just mixing things in here a little bit better. I overall think that is what we're kind of go with here. So look, for me, I think that this is a good thing for Wilson to kind of slot into a position that's a little more comfortable with him. I also wonder too, and this is a bit of a, you know, just more the human element stuff, Wilson's a guy who's never really had, like, a veteran in the room with him. He's always basically been like that guy, right? When he was drafted, Elijah Moore was the number one receiver for this team.
Right.
Garrett Wilson quickly usurped that role from him. And then he was just the main dude in the room last year with Alan Lazard and all these guys. I think Garrett Wilson can come in there and say, like, I'm a top 10 draft pick. I'm from Ohio State. I'm a baller. I'm the alpha of this room. He's going to go back now into that secondary position with Davante Adams being there, which I hope from, and I know Wilson loves football and loves to work and all this stuff. And I have I don't think he's going to cause like an attitude problem or anything like that being across from Davante Adams or anything. In fact, I think like, I hope he really absorbs some things from Davante Adams, because like the things I think Wilson's not that like it needs to tighten up on, I should say. Even his touchdown catch last night, Troy Aikman pointed out, like, why are you leaving your feet on this play? Like, just keep the feet on the ground, drag the toes, and make it clear that this is a touchdown. You know, he's had issues like along the sideline with toe taps and stuff like that. Just tighten up the details a little bit. I really think he could be like one of the best receivers in the league. Maybe he like absorbs a few things from Adams when he's in the room here.
It's interesting. You take a look at some of the EPA numbers here. The Jets had a need at outside wide receiver. You know, they've been trying to throw Mike Williams out there, and Alan Lazard has been playing outside for them a little bit too. But when you take a look at EPA per dropback, the Jets are at the 11th lowest in the NFL. And to be honest with you, I think that would surprise some folks, because again, Garrett Wilson, a highly regarded player. It probably doesn't surprise folks after watching this team for 5 weeks, but if we were to come into the season, right, and say, all right, we're going to get a relatively healthy Aaron Rodgers. We've got Garrett Wilson. Look, they add Mike Williams. Who knows what they're going to get from Alan Lazard. But if we came into the season, and I told you the Jets are going to be one of the 11 worst teams in terms of EPA per dropback when we're throwing to the outside, I think that would surprise a lot of folks. I mean, some of these teams below them, I mean, again, it's New England. It's you know, the Rams, who have had a lot of injuries at wide receiver. Tennessee, with Will Levis being an absolute disaster zone right there, right? So it's just, these are the teams that are in the bottom 10, and the Jets are right there with them.
Yeah, and like, you can't have that with Aaron Rodgers playing, you know, and I think Rodgers has gotten criticism for his play this year. Yeah. I think he's playing fine. I think the arm talent is great. Mm-hmm. He just can't move, and he can't really throw off platform anymore. You know, that interception that he threw to Mike Williams at the end of the game, a lot of that, I think, was, you know, throwing off platform, stuff like that. I know he came out immediately and said, like, oh, yeah, Mike Williams ran the wrong route or whatever, or, you know, right, like the landmarks, all that stuff. Okay, probably true. I don't think Mike Williams has ever been on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's probably not going to be on the Jets for much longer. Adams is going to take that X receiver spot. But that's also a throw that Rodgers has to try to make off platform, and he throws it up kind of for great. It's a duck, basically.
So a couple things on that last play. I went back to go watch that last play a bunch of different times, because and I know it right now, it's very chic to dunk on Aaron Rodgers, and you know, he's brought a lot of that upon himself. I get it. That being said, I can't help but when you look at the all 22 and you look at where the defense is set up, and Mike Williams has to come back to that football, and I kind of sort of agree with Rodgers in that, like, he threw to the spot where it's open, right? He threw to the open spot. If he tries to go over the top of the defense, first of all, it's not a realistic throw. You're trying to have this guy throw, what, 60 yards on a line? Like, I don't know if that's an even feasible throw at this point in Rodgers. I don't know. Maybe it is. I mean, shoot, he threw the Hail Mary. But I'm just saying, he threw to a spot. He threw to a spot in the defense that had a little bit of a hole in it. And I do wonder if Mike Williams actually overran the route right there. I don't exactly know what Rodgers was referring to. I'm not, like, you know, a huge X's and O's guy here. But I mean, just again, looking at the all 22, Matt, it seemed as if Rodgers did throw to a spot that was open.
Oh, sure. And, you know, this is the thing with Rodgers, is he's just, it's all about timing and precision. And the problem with a guy like Mike Williams is that he wasn't going to, and I mean, look, Rodgers wasn't there all camp. And I've said that before, that's.
I mean, hey, when you got to go to Egypt, you got to go. All right. I mean,
you got to go. You're never going to have any other chance to do it. Got to do it. I mean, look, him and Mike Williams just don't have a lot of timing and chemistry together. Aaron expects is not there. Like, Lazard, man, it's crazy. Lazard, just like a game day healthy scratch with the Jets last year, and here this year, he's catching the Hail Mary. He's catching that whole shot that Rodgers threw, the seam ball over the middle of the field.
He's everywhere.
Because, like, him and Rodgers have, and look, like Lazard drops the hell out of the ball every now and again,
sure.
But he has timing and chemistry and rhythm with Rodgers. So that's like why this Adams acquisition is so interesting, because he does have that, like, just reps and reps and reps with Rodgers. They have so much baked in chemistry together. So yeah, I don't think this is going to suddenly make the Jets like a Super Bowl contender. I don't suddenly think they're a top five offense in the league, mm-hmm. but it's no question that this makes them better. And I am really interested to see what Garrett Wilson looks like as more of a Robin to Davante Adams as Batman, because I would expect these guys to be close-ish in targets, but I think Adams will probably finish with more targets rest of the way than Garrett Wilson. Uh-huh. But shoot, look, man, I mean, how the best offenses right now, you have more than one answer at the pass catching department.
Yeah.
Like, Lazard's fine, but you know, he should be like your three or your four, like an ancillary role player. He shouldn't be your number two receiver. He's not a true like he's not a true number two. Wilson is your number two. Adams is your number one. You're really cooking with something there, in my opinion.
Okay, so while of course, I agree with all of what you just said. Of course I do. Any sane, rational football person is going
to
think what you are. No, they're going to think what you're thinking, because you know the position better than anybody. You know football, man. Like, 100% I agree with everything you just said. But my role in this partnership, Matt, is sometimes to just bring in the vibe check.
Totally. Totally, go for it.
I am an absolute I'm the vibes check guy. We're talking about this partnership, this duo over
CVO,
here.
CVO, Chief Vibe Officer.
100%, bro. And my thing is, yeah, while I agree with you that Garrett Wilson should 100% given his age, talent level and peak athletic performances and all that kind of stuff, man, like, he should be competing with Davante Adams to lead this team in targets. Vibe check time, though. I just don't see it happening, man. Not only that, you're saying, oh, well, Lazard can't be a number two wide. He's going to be the number two wide receiver on this team. The thing with Rodgers is that you talk about the chemistry, timing, and all that kind of stuff, and there's just so much artistry that goes into playing quarterback. And when you're talking about like the chemistry that's built in with some of these guys, it's great to say, and of course it makes a lot of sense to say, that Lazard should not be a featured player on this offense. But man, just given Rodgers and given this whole situation right now where he gets rid of Robert Saleh, like, It's a Nathaniel Hackett built offense, and I know they got Todd Downing and calling the plays, but okay, that's fine. It's still the offensive system that's built by Rodgers and Hackett. I'm sorry, man, but Lazard is going to be a huge factor in this offense. And I'm not saying that Garrett Wilson's not going to be. He will be as well, but it's going to be the Devontae show, number one. And I think that when we're talking about who's going to be the true number two wide receiver, I can't help but think there's going to be a lot of Lazard and a lot of Garrett Wilson, but those three guys will certainly be in the mix. But Adams number one, and then we're talking about 2A, 2B, in my opinion, when we're talking about Lazard and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, maybe. The only thing I would say is that while Rodgers, I think, has been maybe frustrated at times with Garrett Wilson, and I think Garrett Wilson has sometimes been frustrated with Rodgers.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it's just a one-way street there.
No.
And I think both those guys probably have points to why they'd be frustrated with each other. That's okay. Like, it's football. We're all adults here. We can disagree and like keep it moving.
Sometimes.
But you know, with this Wilson stuff, I will say that like Rodgers clearly has a lot of respect and affinity for Wilson. You know, after week one, he said like, oh yeah, what did he have, 11 targets in that game? Like, we got to ratchet that up. You know, the guy leads the NFL in targets after all.
Yeah,
it's not as if he has just been ignoring Garrett Wilson to pepper Alan Lazard or, you know, whoever else in the offense. And even after, I always come back to after last year's week one game when Rodgers tore his Achilles, you know, and like Garrett Wilson did that interview afterwards where he said like, yeah, the only thing Rodgers said to me was like, I'm sorry, kid, you know, because Rodgers knew I can take this guy to superstardom, you know.
Yeah, right.
So I think that there's a lot of affinity between these two players that, like, I know it's just easy and like it's so like about 70%, 75% true and just cliche to talk about Aaron Rodgers and his buddies that, you know, there with the New York Jets. I do think that like Wilson's in the circle of trust for Rodgers. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't say it's going to be a 2A, 2B, but Lazard is absolutely not going to go away. And
no,
I don't think Lazard needs to totally go away. You know, I don't think that he needs to be sent to like the shadow realm or anything like that. You just don't want to be throwing him, you know, 8 to 10 balls a game because he's going to, he's going to drop like 2 or 3 of them a game, or he's going to be in the, but he's a solid role player. I think we get too, I think, you know, my stance on this stuff, James, we get too extreme with players where they're either great or they're either great or they suck. Like Lazard doesn't suck. He got a lot of red on his route tree. He's not a separator. I get that, but he is a useful NFL player. And I do see why Rodgers has a bit of an affinity for him.
Yeah. Lazard, by the way, over the last 3 games has averaged 8 targets per game. I mean, my dude is
getting some work out here, man. He's getting some work.
That number is going to go down, but I think Garrett Wilson, who's averaging again, I think about 11.5 targets per game, that number is going to come way down too. So, I'm very interested to see what that target distribution looks like. I think the offense is going to be a lot better off though, with Davante Adams being a true alpha in this room, and now they've got 3 wide receivers there that are all pretty dangerous. You know, they can all do different things. So, and that's that kind of construction, I think, makes it really interesting too, because there's not too many guys that are samesies. You know, they've got guys that got roles and they've got, you know, positions to play, which I think is going to be great. You've got Devontae at the X, Garrett Wilson flanker slot, and then Alan Lazard, a little bit of a flanker slot as well. Okay. So let's go to the other,
but okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, primary, yeah. in regards to this Amari Cooper trade, my God, this is such a great trade for Buffalo. It's such a great trade for Amari. And again, I'm going to go back to the whole vibe check thing here, but I mean, Amari Cooper, it looked like he had basically checked out, man. Like, he's like, this offense stinks, man. I can't do anything here. I just think, and this has been true for Amari's entire career, where if he gets motivated, if he gets fed targets early and he's engaged, he's one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but you got to get him engaged. I just think with this team change and the scenery change, I think we will see a really, really strong start coming right out the gates for Amari Cooper.
All right, yeah, before we talk about this stuff with the Bills and like impact the Bills and things like that, let's talk about Amari Cooper with the Browns.
Okay.
Because I'm glad you want to go right to vibes, because whew, I mean, it was on my radar from week one when there was like a shot of him coming out of the huddle and he's like just kind of rolling his eyes. I'm immediately like, something's off here.
Uh-oh.
Something's not right on this one. And I know like he was kind of holding out in the offseason, but he got his contract, you know, restructured and things like that. So I don't really know. I didn't think it was a money thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's, knows the quarterback can't play.
Yep.
I mean, he cannot play football. I think I read the Bill Barnwell stats off on this podcast, right?
Yeah,
yesterday.
Was.
I mean, just disgusting, right? I mean, it's the
horrendous.
Statistically, it is the worst offense like in NFL history, basically, is what's going on in Cleveland right now. And you can't tell me a guy like Amari Cooper, who you said it, the book on him is that he is like when he's in, when he's out, we could have some issues here. You can't tell me a guy like that does, like, you didn't do the Men in Black like memory thing on him. Seen that movie, by the way. You didn't do the Men in Black movie thing on him, the memory thing, and like he doesn't remember what just happened a few freaking months ago when he was going for 200 yard games with Joe Flacco in this offense. So he knows what's up here, you know. And a stat on this, and people who listen to my stuff are going to be sick of me saying this stat, but I gotta say it here anyways. Fantasy Points data does a great job, you know, charting plays, things like that. They have a whole great data tool. They have a stat called uncatchable air yards from inaccurate throws. Amari Cooper has 352 air yards on inaccurate, uncatchable throws. 352 air yards. He has 676 total air yards on the season. That means over half, 52.1%.
Wow.
Of his air yards are just completely uncatchable because the quarterback is inaccurate. That's non-functional. I know Cooper has dropped passes. Okay, he has like a 9% drop rate on the year. he's left some. I will say, I've charted two games. We're going to talk about those games.
Yep.
Some of these passes are definitely because, like, okay, he gets his hands on him because you got to chart. So you chart it as a drop because he's open in the middle of the field. He gets his hands on him, but that ball is so early. It's he's got to adjust to it. So it's a drop, but like it's still probably on the quarterback here.
Right.
We're talking about some quarterbacks throw catchable passes. Like that guy, Deshaun Watson, does not throw catchable passes. So I think Amari was just, whether he was, he definitely was not completely all in on what's going on in Cleveland. I haven't been watching a lot of Browns film this year because I know what's going on there. These two games starting Amari Cooper, not a good
ugly
time.
Ugly. Okay, give me some
from a Browns offense perspective.
Yeah, I'm sure. Give me some stats here, though. Give me some RP stats, man. Like, what are we looking at? I mean, first of all, we know that he's absolutely struggled. 45% catch rate. Right now through, six games or whatever it is. And golly, I mean, he's seeing the targets. He's seeing plenty of targets. That's for sure. He's just not catching a lot of footballs, and he has 0 100-yard games. Shoot, he has 0 90-yard games. As a matter of fact, he's only cracked 60 yards. He's cracked 60 yards just two times. He's got 60 yards in week 5 and 86 yards in week 3. So the production certainly hasn't been there. The efficiency certainly hasn't been there. When I go back and I watch Amari Cooper, man, I'm like, man, this guy is not putting he's not engaged at all. You know, like, what is going on? But give me some RP numbers in regards to Amari Cooper. What's his success rate's been looking like against man and zone?
Man coverage actually really good, like around 73% against man and press, which is right in line with his first season in Cleveland. That was, in my opinion, his best season in his NFL career was his, well, before arriving in Cleveland. I think this was his best season to me. These first two years of the Browns were his best years of his career. I've always been a little bit like mixed on Cooper. You know, he gets his reputation as like a great route runner and stuff like that. He's not really a great like technician, great separator, great route runner. He's more of like a great vertical player. And when he can really use those kind of like exaggerated double moves, and he gets in and out of those breaks quickly, he can snap you off and make big plays in the vertical game. And that fits so well in Cleveland's offense because you're looking at these like big digs, crossing routes, big post routes, big overs, etc. on play action. I think that's where he's really going to fit in Buffalo's offense because he's still playing X receiver. 78.6% snaps on the line of scrimmage in the two games I charted, Eagles, Giants, and he's only in the slot on 17%. You know, so again, true, he moves around a little bit, but he is an X receiver. I think that's where he's going to play in Buffalo. If you guys have been listening to the show, we've been talking about this a lot. I think Buffalo has the worst outside wide receiver play in the NFL from like a separation standpoint. They do not have guys that can get open on the outside. Keon Coleman can't do it at this point in his career.
Right.
I'm actually kind of excited to see if they move Coleman around a little bit. Mac Hollins is not that guy. Curtis Samuel is he's not been a full-time player for them.
No.
Maybe he can get a little more involved. He had a couple of nice plays on Monday night. Maybe it's
they just cut MVS.
They just cut MVS. Again, a guy who can't get open on the outside, and Khalil Shakir is a slot receiver who's a really good separator. But again, he's not healthy right now either. So 73% success rate versus man, 73% against press. Actually over 80% in these two games against zone coverage for Amari Cooper.
Wow, that's
the thing
a surprise.
Is just he doesn't get open on like nine routes and corner routes really. Where he really thrives is slants and digs and posts. Those numbers are all fantastic in terms of like individual route success rate for Amari Cooper. And those routes right now in these two games made up 40.9% of his routes. That's where I imagine he's going to make a big impact with Buffalo. It's going to be on in-breaking routes. This is a run-heavy team. They run a lot of like gap runs, man, like attacking runs. That run scheme, especially with Ray Davis now emerging in the backfield mixed with Cooper as the X receiver on these play-action passes, it makes a lot of sense. Even if Cooper, maybe he's a little bit lesser of a player, I don't know. We'll see. Even just if he wins on those routes, it's a big upgrade for Buffalo.
Yeah, the Ray Davis thing, that's like found money for the Buffalo Bills, honestly. I mean, he just had a huge coming out party against the Jets, and actually on my podcast I talked about it. Dude, the guy was so good, I'm actually worried for James Cook now from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sometimes that sometimes a backup will come in and be productive, but you're still not that worried about the starter. Like, yo, Ray Davis is so good. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. If I'm a James Cook guy, like I might be a little worried about what this entails for the future.
Ray Davis is the Ty Montgomery of Tyler Algiers. Like, get ready to have that in your life.
Okay, great. I love it. Okay, you talk about this outside wide receiver production. You're really, again, I don't think you're not out of, you're not over your skis on this. The Bills have gotten the fourth fewest yards from outside wide receivers thus far, according to Next Gen Stats. The only teams worse in this department are the Tennessee Titans, again, not because of the receivers, but because of the quarterback. The Chargers, who, again, they're trying to work it through with Quentin Johnston, right? But, and also, they just don't throw the ball a lot. And then New England. That's it. Those are the only three teams that have gotten less production from a receiving standpoint than the Buffalo Bills. And again, the Buffalo Bills have Josh Allen. They got Josh Allen. You know what I mean? Like, golly. Yeah, so although you did say that they have the worst outside wide receiver, I might have to say it might be New England. I think it might be New England. New England's got, they don't got nothing on the outside, man. Like, yeah. Whatever. I mean, Jalen Polk is a young player, but shoot, man, they got nothing out there, which is tough right now.
But here's the thing: when we talk about these guys who are just the guys who are out there, okay, you know, you just look at, like, and I'm not talking about perception success rate. Now, when I quote this stat, I'm talking about, you know, like down distance efficiency success rate, like production success rate. You look at the guys, the top five receivers on the team. So it's Matt Collins, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, MVS. Just put aside Curtis Samuel because he isn't really playing outside wide receiver. So Hollins, Coleman, Khalil Shakir, MVS. Let me just read you off their success rates on their targets right now.
Okay.
Khalil Shakir, 61.9%. Really, really good. That's actually 10th best in the NFL.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman, 45%.
Oh, boy.
Mac Hollins, 36.8%.
Oh, boy.
MVS, 22%.
Oh, man. Here we go.
22%. Oh, that's what we're working with with the Buffalo Bills. Like, just the dramatic difference between when they're throwing to Khalil Shakir versus when they're throwing to everybody else. Now, you know, Amari Cooper didn't look good in that stat because none of the Browns receivers look good in that stat. I wonder why that might be. So, again, I think Cooper coming in here, we're gonna take Keon Coleman out of that X receiver position. We're gonna put Amari Cooper in. We're getting a big upgrade there.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, talk to me about where Keon Coleman's playing. Is he gonna play more in the slot? Is he gonna play more off the line of scrimmage? I hope so. Because people that have followed reception perception, you know, I've seen the videos on YouTube, we've seen it in the profile on the website. This is a guy that I think Coleman can really thrive as that big power slot receiver. Now, he's not going to take the slot receiver gig fully because Khalil Shakir is there. Mm-hmm. But if he is, you know, kind of alternating slot flanker with Khalil Shakir, now I think we could really have something in Coleman from a rookie perspective.
Yeah, I really want to see him, you know, off the line, getting away from press coverage and kind of sort of being on the backside of a lot of plays too. You know, if Amari's going to be your primary read on a lot of these plays and he ends up getting, you know, blanketed a little bit, like, go to the backside. Let's see where Keon Coleman is at. The one thing I'll say about Keon Coleman, and this has definitely been true throughout his collegiate profile and in the limited action we've seen in the pros, the guy just can make plays, right? Yeah. Like, the fact that he's a big play kind of sort of, he's got that big play potential, that part of it really excites, I think, a lot of folks out there. And it certainly is a much needed boost, a shot in the arm for this Buffalo Bills offense that, I mean, again, when you go back with in 2023 with Stephon Diggs, a diminished player was Stephon Diggs. And again, I don't know how mentally engaged he was in that offense, especially after what we've seen in 2024 in Houston. But just the big play potential just wasn't quite on the menu last year. And I do think it's back on the menu here with somebody like Keon Coleman, who can give you some of that verticality as well. And by the way, Amari Cooper is still a big play waiting to happen as well. So they're adding some of these explosive, you know, style players into this offense. And I think that's going to be great. Meanwhile, Khalil Shakir, great chain mover, You got James Cook. He's a potential explosive player as well. Ray Davis, an explosive player. Man, this Buffalo offense, man. Shoot, you add one player into this mix, man. You know what I'm talking about? You add just Amari Cooper into this mix, and it's not like as if Amari Cooper is a top 10 receiver in this league or anything. No. It's just you add him into this mix, and all of a sudden, everyone else just sort of kind of clicks into place, and I think that's what makes it really exciting for Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Keon Coleman, like I do want to see him in this power slot role. I want to see him moving around a little bit, but there's no question that he can go up and get it down the field. You know, yeah. There's going to be times, and, you know, Amari Cooper is not solely an X receiver either. You're going to use him at flanker. He has a lot of experience doing that based like in his Cowboys days. And I don't think that's like the best use for him, but I think he can give you those snaps. And like, if you get a cover one look or Josh Allen likes what he's got pre-snap and Coleman's your X receiver, he has 97 routes, according to Fantasy Points data, on fade routes, go routes, corner routes, and post routes. Like, yeah, go up, push that thing to Coleman down the field. Like, they're going to want to get him, and he has a touchdown on those plays too. So, like, I think they're going to want to take those shots with Coleman. Like, he can, in a best case scenario, I think, and I don't know that he's going to become this guy, but in a best case scenario, he would be like a Drake London type of player where you're going to do the power slot stuff with him, but we're also going
love
to, that. He's a ball winner down the field. Now, again, I don't think he is going to become as good as Drake London, but I think that in an ideal scenario, that's what he would be. But like, this is what we want out of Buffalo's wide receiver room. We want position versatility. We want guys that can move around a little bit. And dude, like, that's what we heard in the offseason. That's what's so crazy about watching this team right now and like seeing the limited Samuel usage, seeing Coleman only playing outside. It's in camp. I cannot tell you how many people were tagging me and like, Keon Coleman getting slot work today.
Right.
Curtis Samuel playing all three receiver positions. And then they've come out this year, and I think because of health of Samuel and I think for a lot of other reasons, everybody's just been kind of doing one thing.
Yeah,
Shakir's just been a slot receiver. Coleman's just been an X receiver. Mac Hollins has just been Mac Hollins. And like, I think that now that we get Cooper in the mix.
I love that you didn't even assign him a position. It's just the Mac Hollins role.
Out there, you know, eating with his hands and stuff. He's love doing it. The Mac Hollins thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that now that we have a guy in Cooper who can play X and definitely can play other positions, man, I really think this offense is cooking with something because you don't have a number one still. I don't know that Cooper is, like, a true, real-deal number one at this point of his career, but he's operated as it with the Browns, so maybe it's possible. But you definitely have a guy who, from a route-running perspective, the slants, the in routes, the dig routes, the corner, the post routes, like the big over routes, fits really well with what they need right now. They get a guy who can get open against man coverage, and that allows you some flexibility to move other guys around as well. So hopefully this can be like, I think in an ideal world, and like again, I don't think it's going to come in here and just change the entire, like he is not a transformative talent, but hopefully because he can come in here and take one of these receiver positions, it can have a cascading effect for all of the other guys in the room.
Absolutely. Like I said, it allows these guys to click into a spot that I think is going to be more comfortable for them. And by the way, let me just say, man, with Joe Flacco last year, Amari Cooper was absolutely balling out of his mind, okay? 9 games with Joe Flacco, this dude was on pace to have 1,600 yards and 91 receptions with 8 total touchdowns. I mean, that's just, bro, that is it. That's so impressive, man. And that's with Joe Flacco. With Joe 100%. Fly, that's, oh my goodness gracious. Anyways, what is this going to look like with Josh Allen? I'm really excited, if you guys can't tell. But yeah, man, it's going to be I think the offense overall is going to look pretty nice, man. I think Buffalo's in really good shape. The fact that KC has not made a move yet, and I know we're still recording this on a Tuesday, they might be forced to make a move, you know?
Don't say it.
But dang, man, like I just, again, with where Buffalo is at and adding Amari Cooper and getting some found money with Ray Davis. Oh gosh, I think this Buffalo offense, they have to be passing over Kansas City right now. I think they're the favorites in my mind to win the Super Bowl. So I really like this trade for them and let's see what's going on.
I don't know if I'm there just because
I
think
who else is there? Houston?
Baltimore. I think Baltimore and Houston.
Baltimore's got to show it in the postseason, you know?
Buffalo's got a show in the postseason.
That's a good point. Shoot, that's a good point.
Everybody but Kansas City has to show it in the postseason. Sorry.
That's a good point, actually. Good point. All right, so there you go. Anyways, that's the show. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. A little bit of a shorter episode here today, but we'll get you another shorter episode tomorrow. But yeah, we had to get this one out on the books, man. You're talking about two, you know, high-level players at the wide receiver position getting traded in some pretty high-profile moves. We had to get that emergency pod up and active. Anyways, it's for you folks out there. Anyway, so we'll be back tomorrow, though. But for Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.